What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday is another wasted night. Josh Hadley and the cat.
Hello.
And he's back. He got his car working. The McMull Charlie.
I didn't want to imply that my car is working.
Okay, well, he made it here, so that's
yeah,
I
did
better.
That. Yeah.
It's something.
It's manageable.
We're going to have another big slew of stories, but let's get into the dumbest one right away with...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm going to lead off with you, Kat, since it seems we can't escape Frozen. Frozen now makes kids want to go into witchcraft.
This is like Harry Potter all over again.
Oh, it's our same friend Swanson from last week, too.
Oh my god, leave this movie alone, Swanson!
Swanson hates it. He said, Frozen and similar movies are, quote, are the means that children are led into witchcraft and are part of Hollywood's attempt to turn children away from God, unquote.
Let's just be clear. There's no huge outbreak of witchcraft in this country. There's no, like, groups of kids hanging out behind the school during
lunch. You know
what?
Fuck
lunch.
You, Kat. I curse you.
I don't care. There's not this tremendous outbreak of kids getting turned to witchcraft. This isn't cigarettes, guys. It's not something kids are doing behind the gym during their lunch break. Like, it's just not happening. How can these things turn children to witchcraft when there's not children out there practicing witchcraft?
I guess the same way it can turn them gay, according to Swanson.
I mean, you have to take into account the average kid's level of commitment and attention span. Even if it was recommending witchcraft, I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Well, how about this? Quoting Swanson again. These magical powers you find in these movies oftentimes are not attributed to God himself. God is not recognized. God is not worshipped. God is not seen as the source of power. And thus, many of these magical tales turn out to be a means by which children are led to witchcraft, unquote. Am I reading too much into this, or is he saying, they didn't say God did it, so that means Satan did it? Is that about right?
I think that's what he's saying.
Well, he's saying, well, God didn't give them the power, so it must be bad. God doesn't go around giving people powers because God is imaginary.
Ooh, right to the core.
I'm sorry, but God can't go around to give people powers, and that's why they don't make that into very many movies. I wouldn't say any movies, but not a whole lot of movies involve God giving people superpowers. It just doesn't happen because God has never given anybody superpowers.
Well, I'm thinking, Charlie, I think you and I need to see this movie now because, let's face it, this homosexual agenda pushing, witchcraft indoctrinating movie, I'm all up for that, aren't you?
I could go for some gay witches.
I mean, it sounds like a surefire sin fest.
Okay, Kat, since you've seen it, we're going to be disappointed going into it with that mindset, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the show is the most evil thing it does is get a song stuck in your head for like a month straight. And that's about the maximum of what it's capable of.
Let's go see Frozen, man. I heard it's better than Paradise Lost.
There's not much more we can say about that. Swanson, we loves you, but God, you're an idiot. Well, let's go from that to, Kat, it seems like every single week, and Charlie, you've missed a few of these, so that's why I'm leaving you out of this initial one here. We can't get around just racism still being around today, can we?
No, we really can't.
Charlie? Did you hear that the University of Alabama has just won the right to stop blacks from applying to all white sororities and fraternities?
Are you fucking serious?
Yep.
God. Okay. Alabama, we don't like saying supposedly ignorant things about you, but just when you've done the most ignorant thing that we think you can do, time goes forward and you keep doing things.
Alabama is absolutely living up to its reputation for racism.
Oh, absolutely. So what basically happened was the University of Alabama was trying to pass a bylaw that said that anyone, you know, basically the university is not necessarily to blame because they were trying to pass a bylaw that said anyone who applies, you have to at least look at their application the same as you would anyone else. Various frats and sororities, by the way, who run the Crimson White newspaper, subtle, decided that they don't want black people applying because literally it makes them look racist when we turn down all the black people because we don't want them, so we want it in the bylaws that black people can't even apply. That way, we don't look racist when we don't let black people in.
What?
Yeah, I mean, okay, just let that sink in for a second. We don't want to look racist, so we want to make a law that no one who's not white can apply, so then that way we don't have to turn them down.
What's really amazing to me is that these are not the grown-ups talking. For
well, they're
once,
technically adults.
For once. Because we're so used to seeing all of these, you know, idiotic parents and school board members forcing horrible racist decisions on the children. But what we have here is a group of responsible adults saying, wow, our university really looks like a bunch of fucking racists. Maybe we should try and integrate our sororities and our fraternities. And they said, okay, the student council is the one who has to put it to vote, so let them decide. And they decided to be fucking racist.
27 to 22 was the vote.
And I think this is really important because we kind of our generation is starting to be like, hey, we have a much more liberal generation. We are free thinking, especially compared to the people in power. So we're going to be much better leaders than our forefathers because we are way more educated and more experienced and in our free thinking than they are. And we're going to be more inclusive and better people. And no, we're not, because we've got a whole university out there that decided that being fucking racist was okay in this day and age. So I think it's really enlightening to know that racism is absolutely alive and well today in our generation.
Katie Smith, lead sponsor of the resolution, told Crimson White, the Crimson White newspaper, quote, they chose to vote on it and they chose to vote it down. I didn't put anyone in a catch-22, unquote. What she's basically saying is they don't want blacks, so why is this an issue?
It's an issue because it's fucking wrong. I mean, you still gave them the opportunity to do something racist. You can't blame them for taking the opportunity that you gave them. I mean, basically what she's done is saying, I don't even know what the fuck she's saying. This is ridiculous. She's acknowledging that there is racism on the campus of the University of Alabama and took actions to shine a fucking light on it and said, look at that.
To me, I think she acknowledges that there's racism here, but she's saying it's the black people's fault for trying to get into a white fraternity anyway, sort of a, what did you expect we were going to do?
It's Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, what did you know? Did you really think you were going to win this one? Really? The fraternity has a giant sign outside that says Old South.
It says Old South?
Yes,
yeah.
Old South. So did you really think that they were going to be totally open to black dudes joining? But then again, doesn't this bring up a different question? Why would a black person want to join a fraternity or a sorority if they're clearly not wanted?
And why would any person want to join a fraternity or a sorority at all? That's of all the practices we still have in this country, particularly in the academic kind of environment, that is one of the worst ones. It's just it exists for no other reason than for certain people to be elitist. That's pretty much what it is.
I honestly think that we still have them around so that we can continue to make bad college movies about them.
Well, they weren't always bad. In the 70s, we made good college movies.
Yes.
Them, so
yes.
Let's be fair. Well, even in the 80s, Revenge of the Nerds, still a good movie.
Yes.
Even in the early 90s, PCU was a good movie.
I'll fight you on that.
And that's fine. You're entitled to that. Not just because you're white, but because you're entitled to it.
So to me, what this comes down to is you constantly see in especially pop culture, racism is over. Racism is over. It's not, is it? Racism, I mean, and Kat, as you pointed out, these are the younger kids that are doing this. These are the just out of high school kids. This is the future, and they're still this racist. Racism is not going away anytime soon.
And clearly, it takes a better mind. And this is why people are like, well, you can't have equal rights if you give people special rights. This is not true, because it takes those special rights, those insurances, before you can actually have equality. And that's why there are, you know, like special rights for women and for minorities, because if we didn't have those, we will never, ever reach equality, because there is no reason to give people equal rights. So it this just makes me think of, until somebody comes into this college and says, you know what, guys, you are getting integrated whether you like it or not, because it's good for you, because you need a mommy or daddy who actually loves their children to come in and say that because it's good for you. Until somebody does that, it's not going to change.
This is a bunch of rich white kids who have always had everything that they've wanted. How do you expect anything different?
Well, I think it's important for everyone to keep in mind that, yes, the children are the future, but in some cases, the children are also the present, and children suck just as much as adults do. For as long as there's racism, we're pretty much fucked as a species. We're not going to make any progress as long as there are still people, racist people, in positions of power to where that comes into play.
I can't disagree. Now, I have no segue for our next thing. Let's just talk about anonymous tips. Do you think that if you tip off the police or a Crime Stoppers type organization, you have the right to remain anonymous? If they knew who you were, you probably would not have given them the information to get the arrest.
Yes, I think anyone who informs the police of anything should have the right to remain anonymous. But I also think that the police should stop taking anonymous tips, because there are a lot of liars out there. Anonymous tip is useless. It comes from an unconfirmed source, so it could be true or it could not be true, so it's nothing better than a guess.
I pretty much agree with that. If you take it onto a smaller scale, you have like workplaces where you can call up an HR line and give, you know, a tip to, you know, say a head of security for your whatever. And, you know, so I have that sort of thing at work where I can call up and I can remain anonymous so that when shit goes down, I'm not getting any kind of pressure from my coworkers about something I may or may not have said. On the grander scale of police tips and stuff, I really do agree. You should be able to remain anonymous, but why do we still take these things? Why? Other than to make a good cop movie.
Well, I think what it comes down to is what just happened in Miami, Florida. Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers got an anonymous tip on a drug dealer. Well, they followed it up, and the anonymous tip was completely right. In court, the judge, Judge Victoria Brennan, found that Richard Mastin, the head of the Crime Stoppers in Miami, she ordered him to give over the anonymous tip. Who was it? Because he knew. Because remember, like with Crime Stoppers, you call in and you can remain anonymous. And even if you choose not to, they will protect your anonymity. Well, he took the tip, tore up the piece of paper, and ate it. He's now facing 2 weeks in jail for contempt of court because he says, no, I will not reveal my sources. Did he do the right thing, or was the judge the villain in this?
He did the right thing. I really see that the judge really was trying to do some good. That information could help build a better case, you know, if they could just find out more information and where that information came from, because then, you know, that could have been an inside man. I think the judge was trying to do the right thing, and so was the person who ate the tip. I think it's two people trying to do the right thing, but they're on different sides.
The right thing that could have been done by either party just so happened to contradict each other in this case. I think Mastin did the right thing because it showed integrity by not revealing his source, and the judge did the right thing because that's what a judge's job description actually is.
Well, and to be fair, anonymous tips tend to give the defense a lot of ammunition, because if we don't know how you got this information, we don't know if it's biased or not. We don't know if the information was stolen. I agree. I don't think Mastin is wrong at all, but I don't think Judge Victoria Brennan, who is being she is just the villain in this, in all the news stories. I don't think she was wrong. I actually think she was trying to protect the future prosecution.
Yeah, there's no way that an anonymous tip that has not been verified or corroborated by unrelated testimony, none of that should be admissible in a court of law. There's too much room for hearsay. I think anonymous tips should be done away with. I think they cause more trouble than they do help. And there's no way for it to not, like, there's no way for someone to be sure that it's not bullshit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mastin has this quote: "We promise the people who give us information to solve murders, serious violent crimes in this community, that they can call in with an assurance that they will remain anonymous through it all, and that nothing about them or their information would ever be compromised." this case started creeping into that, and that's not going to happen on my watch, and I understood the consequences. I think he's doing the right thing from his perspective. I also think Brennan was doing the right thing from her perspective.
Yeah, this is a case that should show everybody that our current system is fucked. We have two people that both did the right thing according to just a standard of ethics that most good people have, and it's resulted in a stalemate and probably a mistrial.
I certainly think that it sucks that two people are doing the right thing and one person still had to go to prison over it. On the other hand,
jail's
two
not
weeks...
prison. There is a big difference.
Okay, whatever. Somebody
prison
had to go
ass
to jail.
Difference.
There is an ass difference, yes.
I mean, the whole situation is just awful. It really sucks for everybody. But on the other hand, 2 weeks of jail time is not that bad. It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. I think what's really important is that the bad guys, what's important is that that gets taken care of more so than, you know, any kind of stupid punishment takes place.
That's a very good point. That is an excellent point. And whenever a mistrial does happen, which this looks like it's leading to, mistrials are always in the favor of the defense.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that even if the mistrial, it's going to cost the state more to have to retry it, even if they win the second time. Mastin's standing up for his principles, and I agree with those principles, but this is one of those rare occasions where I think the principle is actually going to hurt more than anything else. So I think both parties were in an impossible spot, and both are dealing with it. The media yep. is the one that's spinning Brennan into the villain, which I'm not sure why they chose to do that.
Well, so. Anytime you make yourself look like a martyr for another human being, I mean, that automatically makes you look really good. But it's like we've been saying, you know, this is going to have consequences that may or may not be worse than giving up your source. Because if it does go to mistrial and it's just going to be a huge waste of everybody's time and money, and there's a possibility that, you know, the drug dealers or whoever could get off because of a mistrial.
Then they're back on the street poisoning kids again. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about... The first thing we're going to talk about is probably one of the worst human beings I think we've ever encountered. Stay tuned.
She wants it, I want it, she wants it, I want it. Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. We're taking a break from the Charlie McMullen show to get into something to raise your blood pressure a little bit higher. And
Hey, Cat. Cat is on just as much as Charlie.
But I like to poke Charlie better because I know Charlie a little bit, at least.
You've never sent me anything from Dropbox, but do you ever use Dropbox?
Yeah, actually, I do. I use Dropbox to get voiceover materials. I'm doing some voiceover work right now for Dr. DeMars, Ronda Rousey's mother, for Seven Generation Games. And we had her on as a guest on the hour-long Heart Attack last year. And this game that she developed to help teach kids math in schools, it's a computer game. I'm doing some voiceover work for them. And you could get the games. If you want to get the game for your school, go to www.7generationgames.com. And that's the number 7. GenerationSingularGames.com. So I just Dropboxed voiceover stuff to her this week.
And now, see, you hopefully won't run into anything because that's original material. It's a good thing you didn't try and send her a sound clip from something, because Dropbox is now watching everything you Dropbox, and they will abide by DCMA notices now. So they are reading what you are uploading. They're looking at your shit, people.
It's not even that. We talked extensively about cloud services, and I think anybody who uses a cloud service to store anything that they need at all is foolish. And here's why I think it's foolish for number one. Number one, anytime you have your computer content that you need for a project or a deadline or a job, and you're depending on access to it over the internet, that's fucking stupid because the internet goes out all the time. Happens to me with my Time Warner account all the time. My internet's going out. And when you're on a deadline, you can't afford to have that happen. You're providing the opportunity for failure to happen. Then number two, you don't own that cloud thing. You don't really own it. If you don't possess it in your hand, you don't fucking own it. And from what we're finding out with Dropbox, they flat out are spying on what's in your accounts. They are looking at what you have stored. Any cloud service you use, they are going through your files. It's like having a babysitter in your house and they're going through your bedroom looking for sex toys. Because what they're doing is they are telling you, oh, guess what? You've got copyrighted written material up here. Let's say you got photographs of, I don't know, your album collection, and you're sharing your album collection with somebody else, or you've posted it publicly. That could be grounds for somebody issuing a DMCA request and making it so you can't share that link of your album collection for over copyright infringement because you don't have permission to do that stuff. But it's even worse than that, guys, because what we're finding out is, let's say you upload a file that's similar to somebody else's file. You bought a digital download of some Hollywood film and you go to put it on your drive or your cloud, let's say, your Dropbox. Well, it's not really, they didn't really upload your file. If anybody else has the same file in their folder, in order for Dropbox to save memory, you're using somebody else's file. You're accessing somebody else's file because to Dropbox, it's all the same. You can't even upload it to your account. And that's kind of crazy. And you don't own your account, even though you're paying money, you don't own it at all.
And see, this shit, this Digital Millennium Copyright Act shit is getting out of hand. One of the shows I produce on 1201 Beyond is Cityspell. It's a couple of Wiccan friends of mine sitting around and trying, it's a, like an empowerment, you know, do good in the world. It's a very uplifting show. Well, the old theme song they had, Hart, was part of Katy Perry's Fireworks, about 38 seconds of the Katy Perry song. None of those episodes are allowed on SoundCloud because of the Katy Perry song.
What?
Isn't
it a radio show?
Yes, it is. But SoundCloud says we have a deal with Katy Perry's record company that doesn't matter what other deals you've made, nothing Katy Perry can get put up here other than Katy Perry. So that's, I got a Digital Millennium Copyright Act notice saying Cityspell cannot go on SoundCloud because you used 38 seconds of a Katy Perry song.
Wow, man.
This is getting ridiculous, Hart.
Because that's what they're doing, guys. They're using different algorithms and different ways of spying on you that the law really hasn't caught up with. And if I have a hard drive and I, like, what if you just want to back up your DVD collection? You know, because those things are subject to being destroyed in a fire or in a flood or what have you, or
earthquake. How about this, Hart? You're traveling to another country. You want to upload some movies you want to watch to your Dropbox. So then when you get to, say, Australia for your vacation, you can download them or watch them right then and there. Oh, copyrighted material. Can't do that.
Same with your CD collection. You take your CD collection and you digitize it so that you've got it on your iPad or your iPhone or what have you, and then you put it up on your Dropbox, like you said, Josh, so that you could just download it wherever you are in the world, which is the idea behind Dropbox, and all of a sudden they won't let you, even though you bought the CDs and you fucking own the CDs. You're right, Josh. This is kind of crazy, and for me, I really got a problem with this. I have a real problem with the idea that you would pay Dropbox to use it and they could look inside your materials and go through your stuff, because that's just 5 minutes away from having a predator pay them to have access to your stuff. Because we talked about this on the Hour Long Heart Attack this week. People are, you know, people, they're easy to be corrupted. They're not paragons of moral virtuosity. We're talking about human beings that they got bills to pay. They got ex-wives and alimony, and they got a drug habit, and they're going to fucking get their money, and they're going to take that bribe to go through your stuff. We already know that Rupert Murdoch bribed the police in fucking England, in London, to get access to various news items that they wanted information on. They were able to hack into people's accounts. So why the fuck would you make it easier for someone to hack into you and to hack into what you're doing and what you're about and your personal things? I don't understand anyone who uses the cloud service. For me, the Dropbox, I'm sharing a file with somebody I work with in another part of the country, like Angela Voorhees, who does a show on American Horrors. We go back and forth with his Angela's Trailer Park shows. And so that's what he does. He uploads them and I download them. He's one of the guys I work with, or like I said, the voiceover stuff, or hell, even you and me, Josh, as we send songs back and forth to play on Heart Attack or play on your other radio shows. What the fuck? Are we going to get blocked pretty soon when I try to send you a song to play on the radio show?
This is an early example of what the TPP has in store for us, Hart.
You're very right there, because the corporations do not have your best interests at heart, folks at home. Those people who own the cloud services, they're a bunch of clowns. They don't care about your privacy. They don't care about any of that stuff. They want to make money, and the game is rigged for them. They are trying to own all of the news media. They're trying to own all of conversation on the web. I mean, you think it's an accident that Turkey blocked Twitter? The whole country of Turkey blocked Twitter. What is so threatening about people talking to each other? How weak are you that you are threatened by human beings talking to each other? You must be one cowardly piece of shit to be afraid of people talking to each other.
Well, isn't that kind of, aren't they taking the lesson from the Arab Spring and the Egyptian uprising, that it was Twitter essentially facilitated that? Well, that says to me you're planning some bad shit that you do not want people talking about.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you try to silence conversation about politics, it means they're trying to hide something, or they're going to do something really bad for you. The way that they're lying about the oil spills in Lake Michigan, and how all of the major corporate news sites are now calling it like all these bullshit names instead of what it is. Tar sands. They'll call it heavy crude. They'll call it heavy oil. But it's tar sands, guys, and they're lying to us about it. In spill after spill, government misdeed after government misdeed, they're lying to us. And that's why we got to get together and we got to talk. That's why I want you guys to go and share these links. If you're a fan of Heart Attack, if you're a fan of What the Fuck, get out there and repost our links. Get the word out there. Get people talking. Because that's how we're going to beat these motherfuckers.
We're going to the party. We're going to the game. We're going to the disco. We're going to cruise that way. We're stealing people's mail. 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 On a Friday night. Driving in the mountains. Riding around, around. Run just through your mailbox, bitch. Take your mail back to town. And we got money, so when it gets back to church, check the politicians from newspaper. Money, baby.
was close to travel, I'm close to travel, but if I make myself too. People say that we're crazy, we're sick and all alone, but when we read your letters, we're all on the floor, and we got money when it gets back to turn. Take my kids from rich they burn. Money bills and cash check. We got a feeling ships with your friends. And I steal your mail on a Friday night. Let's steal your mail back to every night. We better not get caught if it comes to institutions. We'll be drunk and shot till we got our funds in Christians. Steal your mail. Steal your mail.
So let's talk about, at this time, unidentified, but the worst person ever that that this show has ever encountered. In East Moline, Illinois, police got called to a playground when it was discovered that kids were getting cut. So when the police got there, they found razor blades super glued to the underside of almost all the play equipment, onto the slides, onto all the areas where children are going to be running and or throwing their hands without looking. What kind of a sick motherfucker would think, you know what? I got razor blades, I got super glue, I want to hurt some kids.
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess you could call that attempted abortion in the third trimester of middle school.
Leave it to Charlie to make it completely hilarious and horrible.
You're at welcome. The same time, yes.
honestly, I had two major thoughts of what kind of person would do this. My first thought was some crazy, absolutely batshit insane, some sociopath of some kind, or an asshole teenager. Because this is the exact kind of thing an asshole teenager would do.
But I mean, some of the photos that they showed, they had the razor blades cut down to be sticking out of the slide where a kid's ass is going to go down.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, serious, and they were staggered through this, so you were going to cause some serious motherfucking damage to this kid going down this slide, and kids getting their fingers just cut at the joints because they're grabbing, like, the monkey bars, and then there's a freaking razor on the underside.
That shit causes nerve damage.
Yeah, what kind of a sick fucker thought this was a good idea? Let's see the fallout from this.
There's got to be some serial killer in training out there who just somewhere waiting for the opportunity to just kill children.
Well, and have they apprehended anybody for that? The police are calling this vandalism. This is not vandalism. I say this is attempted assault.
This is certainly one of the more, like, uncomfortable things I think we've ever talked about, because how do we even begin addressing how fucked up this is?
Yes, because this takes forethought. You have to decide, okay, this is where the kid is going to put his hand, so the razor has to be angled like this, and we got to super glue it so it has to dry, so we need to do this at a time, like late at night, so the kids, when they come here on Saturday morning, are going to get cut. Oh, and also the razor blades were strewn into the sandbox as well.
And getting the exact right size of razor blade and using, like, different combinations of glue to see what works on metal like that, that's multiple attempts at doing this.
Yeah, this wasn't some drunken, wouldn't this be funny kind of thing. This is a calculated, I want to hurt kids.
This is the worst thing I've maybe ever heard of. This is fucking awful.
This made me sick. This made me sick. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know that I have anything to add to it, and I pray to fucking God that no one else does. I mean, this is awful.
Unless you do, Kat, we'll move on.
No, I'm really quite horrified by the whole thing.
Okay, then.
Okay, one more thing. Have they apprehended anyone for this?
No.
Fuck.
They have no clue who did it. And they checked all the other parks in the area, and it was only at this one park.
Okay, so that is just an isolated, random act of horrific fucking evil.
So far.
Or this was a test run. Yeah, or it's the test run, and something worse is coming. I mean, like, this is on the same level to me, the kind of feeling I get in the pit of my stomach as when you hear about kids going up and shooting schools. Like, the amount of forethought that goes into this and the amount of effort and time and money it must have taken is really just very disturbing.
It's scary. It is.
It, It doesn't seem like another kid did this. It seems like a sick adult did this shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, let's move. This isn't necessarily happier, but Charlie, how close is Grand Junction, Colorado to you, since you're a Coloradan? Colorado, whatever the hell you people call yourselves.
Coloradone, I've heard. That's the one I prefer.
Okay. Well, how close is Grand Junction to you?
Or Pothead. You could even use that one.
No, that's just your address.
It's a sovereign nation called Czechoslovakia, by the way. it's a three-bedroom, one-bathroom sovereign nation. No, Grand Junction is reasonably following the speed limit, is probably about 2.5 hours away, maybe 3.
Okay, did you hear the story about the Colorado girl who shaved her head to support her friend who had to shave her head due to cancer treatments and is now in violation of the school's dress code?
Yes, I did see that.
Cameron Renfro of Grand Junction shaved her head to help support her friend Delaney Clement, her struggle through chemotherapy. She's been kicked out of school and suspended because the dress code specifically says girls cannot have shaved heads. Before we get into the details of this, Kat, as a girl, what do you think of girls are not allowed to have shaved heads?
Okay, this is really, really dumb. This goes really far up the homophobic route where the assumption is that girls with shaved heads are dykes or something. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And I think that's probably what schools are afraid of. They're afraid of that girls with shaved heads are all some sort of horrible lesbian cult, probably something like that. Most girls probably aren't going to shave their head. But when they do, it's not always because they're lesbians and are butch or anything like that.
It could be that they're supporting their friend and actually sacrificing something to show true friendship.
It could be. It could very well be.
Like this case.
But what the schools are afraid of is that it's a butch thing that they don't want to have to deal with, or it's like a gang thing. And that's ridiculous. You don't get to control what kids do with their hair. And it's ridiculous that that's a stipulation. Like, if there's a stipulation that says that guys can't grow their hair long, then I'm also going to raise the bullshit flag, because this is trying to control somebody's sexuality or the expression of their sexuality by, telling them how short they can cut their hair.
I think it's incredibly sexist. One thing that comes to mind, I don't know what sort of bearing this has on the argument, but you can take this for what it's worth. There are chicks out there that can rock a fucking shaved head. Oh my god. Like, if you were to rank hair in levels of importance to a man, it might make the top 10, maybe.
Never been into that Susan Powder shit.
It works for... I think hair, the importance of hair means that if you're hot with hair, then you're hot without hair. And if you're not with hair, then you can shave your head if you want to and it won't matter. I don't know. I think I've seen some really hot chicks with shaved heads. But more to the point, I think this, in terms of total fucking absurdity, this is up there with, like, Footloose not allowing dancing. Only, unlike Footloose, it's really fucking happening in the real world.
Yeah, I think this is more of that zero-tolerance shit run amok. Like, make a finger gun, get suspended. Play with an airsoft gun at the bus stop, get suspended. Shave your head to help support your friend who's going through chemotherapy. Well, we don't want you in school because you shaved your head and you're a girl, and girls aren't supposed to have shaved heads.
Yes, this kind of regulation and this kind of thinking amongst, like, people in positions of administration... This is an after effect of Columbine. It is.
It is.
It's one of the after effects that's getting blamed on society or mass cynicism or this zero tolerance shit. But this is happening because of Columbine. I can swear to that.
Also near you.
Yes. Well, Colorado just never really got over it, man.
Now, this school does not have a uniform, so they don't have uniforms. But the school board's chairwoman said, quote, "The school's dress code is designed to promote uniformity and a non-distracting environment," unquote.
Because the admiration of your peers...
Yeah, Kat, are we in a Pink Floyd video?
Seriously, this is really, really dumb. Like, the only distraction that a shaved head on a girl is going to cause is the admiration of her peers for her noble sacrifice. Because honestly, if you're standing alongside your friend who is going through this horrible thing, and this is the one thing you can do to show them that you care, then you're going to do that one thing. And fuck anybody who tells you otherwise. The fact that the school has a policy that says, well, we just don't care. We think that it's going to be more distracting than anything else. Well, no, it's not. The distraction is that you guys are fucking idiots. You know, as somebody who got chided quite a lot in school for you know, wearing something or doing something that would be distracting. No, listen, the schools
are... But you were a nerd, so I'm going to guess you were probably wearing a t-shirt from some boy show.
No, it was tails. All of us Rennies had little, like, fake tails. So, you know, we would go around with, like, tails, not even anything on our heads, and we would get told to remove the tails because they were distracting, and we're like, look, I'm a nerdy girl. No one is staring at my ass. No one is gonna know that I'm wearing a tail except for you people.
Can you believe the nerd we work with, Charlie?
I sure can.
He's picturing it right now, Kat.
Yeah, so, like, awkward...
Oh, my.
Awkward middle school girls, like, seriously, it wasn't happening. There was nobody there going, oh, wow, check out the tail on her. That was just not happening.
Does the girl who's going through chemotherapy violate the dress code because she also has a bald head? Or, you know, or is the exception when it's medical?
I bet they did make that exception because they're not totally heartless.
I think they'll make that exception until they can exterminate Zivik!
We're not in Germany, we're in Colorado. I know, Charlie,
are we, Josh?
There's not a big difference, but there is to the rest of us.
Yeah,
are we in Colorado? This thing made me, like, ill when I was reading it, man. Because, okay, look, I'm old now. Like, I'm becoming more and more old every day. I'm 34, which is not technically old, but Jesus Christ, I feel really old sometimes.
Oh my God, you're so fucking old.
I feel very old sometimes.
We're calling you Gramps from now on.
That would be fine. But I've never been self-conscious about my age because I think I was born at exactly the right time. I graduated high school in 1998, 1 year before Columbine. If I had been born just 1 year later, my life would have turned out very different. I mean, because of Columbine, it just sort of sprung from there. Like, all this other shit has happened, some of it even worse than Columbine. But I think that was the tipping point in 1999. It has never been a worse time to be, like, not violent, not racist, not extremist, not aggressive, not angry, just different. You have no malintent, you wish no plague upon anyone, you're just fucking different. You're into the Renaissance Fair, like Kat, you're fucking really into movies at an oddly early age, like I was. And Josh, I assume you're the same way, and then you throw some fucking Iron Maiden in on top of that.
And then I was also a comic book nerd, and I played D&D, and yet I had long hair and hung out with all the stoners, so I kind of crossed genres a little bit.
You would have been, like, the Osama bin Laden of post-1999 high school.
I didn't have a beard then!
I don't mean physically, I just mean you would have been the target of everything. So Grand Junction is 100% a victim of post-Columbine ignorance.
Fair enough. Well, let's move from that to how pornography leads into health. You guys are familiar with the National Institute of Health, the NIH, right?
Only in that you have told me their name just now.
Yeah. Yes, I am now.
Well, okay, the National Institute of Health is basically just that, the National Institute of Health. They monitor diseases, they monitor vaccines, they monitor outbreaks, and things like that.
Okay, I haven't not heard of it.
The government's cracking down. The government signed a new law on January 17th, 2014, that says, quote, none of the funds made available in this act, the Consolidated Appropriations Act, may be used to maintain or establish a computer network unless such network blocks the viewing, downloading, and exchanging of pornography. What they're saying is, the National Institute of Health, partially whose job is to study and track venereal disease, cannot look at porn. If porn is allowed on their computers, government's not going to give you any money anymore. You know what? When you're the National Institute of Health, there are various reasons why watching porn is actual research.
Well, I assume the way you just explained it is the way most NIH technicians have explained it to their wives and girlfriends. I'm kidding. I know they're all single. I mean, that's the whole reason why this is even coming up, I think. They're trying to cut back on their porn bills, I think. is what it comes down to. And kudos for thinking outside the box, gentlemen.
Outside the box, double entendre.
I can actually fully understand why they would need, for one reason or another, to have pornography within some of their studies. Because,
as I pointed out, venereal disease tracking is one of the things that they do. And let's just say, porn tube? I'm sure there's a lot of venereal diseases spread on the making of those videos.
You know, like, for example, watching pornography can have effects that can be healthy on the human body. So
yes, Charlie tells me it's good for the skin.
Not to mention the prostate. Are you kidding me?
So there can be, you know, it has effects on the human body, and that merits studying because God knows enough people do it. So I'm not saying it's important to my life, but it's part of our society, and sweeping it under the rug and saying, well, no more money for you, is not really addressing the issue, and, you know, pretending like it doesn't happen.
But I think that also is putting an arbitrary and unrealistic standard on just this one organization. You don't get to look at porn or you don't get money. Now, say we put a bill through that said congressional computers have to have a porn block on it. Bet you wouldn't get a whole lot of support for that.
God, somebody should really do that. Because as soon as you said other, and I'm like, yes, we should make Congress not have porn.
You knew where I was going with that, huh?
Yes, absolutely. That would be amazing. That would be such an eye-opener. Just to, if somebody tried to pass that, just to see the reaction that would come out of it. It would be like, well, you know how they would spin it, too. They'd be like, well, this is so unnecessary because obviously this doesn't happen here. And the entirety of the United States would just go, mm-hmm. And that would be it. That would be the conversation.
See, I think this is ridiculous because, you know, safe sex is one of the things that the NIH pushes. There are a lot of reasons, a lot of legitimate reasons. Now, I get it. If one of the NIH bosses is jerking off to tranny porn in his office, okay, that's probably a little extraneous. But there are so many legitimate reasons that they would need to look at pornography that I think this is arbitrary and dangerous. Because, like I said, I can't even say how many times the NIH's job, one of their things, is to track venereal diseases. Sex is kind of in their mandate, isn't it?
I would just like to take this opportunity to officially apply for the position of independent researcher, should certain laws get passed. I've already backlogged several hours in the field, and I think that I would be a great asset to the entire organization.
Let's move on from that, then, to our final thing. This one boggles my mind. A GOP senator... GOP Senator Richard Ross has introduced House Bill S-787. The bill would forbid divorcing couples with children from engaging with sexual activities with other people until the divorce is finalized.
This is so unrealistic. I mean, this is absolutely unrealistic.
Quoting, in divorce, separation, or 2009A proceedings involving children and a marital home, the party remaining in the home shall not conduct a dating or sexual relationship within the home until a divorce is final and all financial and custody issues are resolved, unless the express permission is granted by the courts, unquote. So basically, if this bill would pass, this is Massachusetts, it's never going to pass, if this bill would pass, you would have to ask the judge if you can fuck your boyfriend while you're getting divorced.
It's sort of like a way to impose all the evil shit that they had in mind for controlling birth control. They can still be that evil, but now towards the postmenopausal in many cases. Again, kudos, gentlemen, for finding a way to still be evil until a woman is good and dead and you are responsible. You're assured that you're responsible for it. This is like cartoonish supervillainy type shit. Only like the extremely sexist version of.
You want cartoonish supervillainy? Richard Ross doesn't even fully support the bill. He filed it on behalf of a constituent.
Holy shit! So, okay, so a friend of Ross is going through a shitty divorce. He's like, you know what would really burn that cunt? Ross, get over here. Remember when I helped you move the other day? Calling in a favor.
I'm calling my chit in. Your thoughts, Kat, as the female on the panel, your thoughts?
So this, of course, really sucks because it's basically saying the house where the, you know, who the parent of the, you know, the kid who's, you know, whose parents are going through
this divorce. If you want to keep the kid, you keep your legs shut.
Yeah, because usually it's most of the time it's the mother who gets the kids in a divorce. So it's basically saying, woman, you have betrayed your man. And now we are going to punish you by not letting you fuck that hot guy that you are getting a divorce.
I'm sorry. I just love the fact that you went Colonel Sanders for your accent there.
Woman.
Yeah, woman. So I'm
you
sorry,
may not
I didn't mean
do
to interrupt
thing.
You on that, but that was hilarious.
I'm doing a little motion like I'm smoking a pipe. Like,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I beseech thee on this sultry August night.
Here in Savannah.
Here's the other thing. Let's just say for the sake of argument that this bill would get passed. They are estimating that it would cost tens of thousands of dollars in court time just to regulate whether the couples getting divorced are having sex with someone else. Basically, there's no reason for this bill, especially with the fact that even Ross doesn't support it.
This is a tremendous waste of everyone's time. Like, seriously, why even bother?
This is like a new record for both, like, sexism and voyeurism when you think about it.
But also, doesn't this raise a much larger question? Legislating the private lives of the citizens of Massachusetts? Isn't that, no, literally no pun intended, a very slippery slope?
It is now.
Hey, I
said no pun intended, you fuck. So you lost your turn, Kat.
Once you say it, I can take it however I want to.
It's definitely everybody who ever has said something about blah, 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 big government, get out of my home, you can't regulate my life. Anybody with a brain would shoot this down because this is so ridiculous. It's going to cost so much money. And really, how can you even regulate this? Like, you just can't.
I just imagine how this is getting snuck through Congress. Because someone is trying to get this approved. It's not the guy that submitted it for the reason that I described earlier, but someone's like, the female party will have to come in from time to time and allow us to examine the undergarments to ensure that no sinning has been committed.
I like how you went Southern gentleman too.
Please close the door on your way out, thank you.
Once we went there, there's no coming back.
Oh, good God. I'm going to take this show out behind the barn and shoot it in the head. Where can we find Kat?
Well, if you are so inclined,
oh God.
You can find me over on the Twitter at LabyrinthCat or on Facebook at facebook.com/noticecat. And then you can also find me on thatguywiththeglasses.com on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, under the podcast tab.
Where can we find Charlie with his 12 secret herbs and spices?
You can find my drumsticks and other appendages on the Twitter at Charlie McMullen. You can find me on Facebook and at thegeekjuicemedia.com, which just goes delightfully with a mint julep on a porch.
I'm not playing with you guys. You can find me at geekjuicemedia.com, 1201beyond.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond.com. I'm not doing this. No, no.
He's a Yankee.
As moon cross the ocean, haven just a memory. Snapshot in the family album. Daddy, what else did you leave for me?
Daddy, what'd you leave behind for me? all. All in all, love, it all just breaks in the mall.
the area of a rectangle whose length is
1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.